is The Blueprint with Chris Phillips on Jazz FM. Listen in colour.
Thank you. Trouble in Mind. Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground is the latest album from saxophonist Noah Preminger, which I've been joyfully playing and celebrating here on The Blueprint for a little while since I got it. And I'm glad to say the man himself is here. Noah, welcome.
Thank you very much.
I got excited when I saw your name on the lineup for Vortex recently, and you were there with Rob Garcia, one of your musical collaborators, and with Hannes Riepler. How was that? It was a Sunday night thing, a little jam session that's going on there. You enjoy yourself. And it was all around the Miles Davis film as well, which I believe you took in and saw. What was that? What was the whole vibe like for you?
Yeah, well, we had just been on the road for just a week in Spain, around the north of Spain and in Barcelona, with Rob's band. And then we flew over here to London, and we played after the... I guess it was a pre-screening of the Miles Davis film with Don Cheadle. And so that was a fun and funny event to attend. And then so we played afterward at the party, and then again at the Vortex with Hannes. And yeah, I played once before in London with Hannes, and he's a fantastic guitar player. So yeah, we're going to... Well, I'm going to be flying to Italy tomorrow. What day is it?
Yeah, you're going to be in Italy.
I'll be in Italy soon playing, yeah.
Cool. I mean, it's great to have you. We're going to play something from Rob Garcia's new album as well. We're talking about your new album, Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground. There's a real deep New Orleansy kind of funeral march thing going on in that, Trouble in Mind, and you celebrating the Delta Blues with this album.
Yeah.
You have a love for that sort of thing.
I do. I love those singers. We recorded 9 songs actually a few more, but the record made 9 songs by 9 different Delta Blues musicians. And we were talking before, I sort of stopped listening to a lot of music, just for various reasons, for kind of like a piece in my head. Occasionally I have a record player, and I have some vinyl that I'll put on, some different Delta Blues musicians. So, and I started with Skip James. He was one of my first, and I really love Lightning Hopkins, and I sort of went on from there and found my favorite compositions, and typically my favorites are when they play guitar and sing solo. Occasionally they'll have maybe a snare drum player, but I definitely favorite the music when it's this the solo musician, because their phrasing is it becomes more natural. They're not relying on the rest of the cats to keep a form, or and so it creates a really unique voice, and that's what I love about it. They're their own storytelling.
Your recording career has been going for about 10 years or so now, since your first album. This is your latest album, and you're still only 29. Is that right?
Yeah, man, I mean, I'm going to be 30 in a month. Oh, my God.
Listening to your voice and listening to your saxophone playing as well, you have this unbelievable kind of, I don't know, it's like... your playing kind of reminds me of a lot of saxophone players that I dearly love, and yet you have your own voice, of course.
Thank you.
You have a richness of tone and an ability to summon sounds out of the saxophone. Like I saw you playing at the Vortex, and you dropped the odd harmonic in there, and you love to explore, don't you, with the instrument?
Oh yeah. Well, it's just, as you know, as a cliche, but it's just an extension of who you are, and so. People can really understand me maybe a little better after hearing my music. As we say, you know, let the instrument speak for you. I've over the past, you know, however many years I've been studying music, I feel like I've checked out a lot of different stuff and try to take that all in and create my own voice. And so... from different rock and roll music to different West African music to, you know, everything. I try to be as open as possible. And because you know what I tell all my students, I say, because they're so quick, I'll play them something and they'll go, oh, I hate that. Or, oh, my God, that was amazing. And I said, well, how come that's so bad? Why do you not like that? And then take what you don't like about that and sort of incorporate that in your own sound, some of my students that are just starting out, I have them listen to someone like, Clifford Brown, and say, hey, what do you like about his sound or his articulation? It's a very specific thing. Do you like it? Do you not like it? And why? And so I think that's really important. And so that's what I've sort of done for years, is listening to other people. Even the other night, we were hanging out at a jam session in London here. And it's great to hear all the other saxophone players in front of you. I hope that everybody kind of will do that. Check out what people are doing and not think like, oh, he sucks. Or, oh my God, he sounds amazing. You know, but like, why? What do you like about it? So,
yeah, I mean, it's not surprising for me to see that some of your favorite players are Joshua Redman.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Lacy.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, David Liebman, who I think you studied with David, right?
Well, yeah, actually, that's funny. So all three of those guys, my parents are jazz enthusiasts. They're not, they don't play, but they love the music. They love all music. And so growing up, I was surrounded by vast collection of stuff. And so they happened to like Josh Redman. And so I started to like Josh Redman. So growing up in the 90s, there was a lot of Josh being played. And I think he's really a soulful and he's got a great, unique sound. So, and then Steve Lacy, when I had my college audition, when I was like, I think 17 or so, he was an adjudicator on the, he was on the panel of my audition. And I remember I went down the line shaking everybody's hand. I was a little nervous. I was like, applying for college, And Steve Lacy was the last one in the row, and he wouldn't shake my hand. He sat there with his arms crossed, and it totally freaked me out. I mean, I had no idea why he wouldn't shake my hand. I was being very polite, and, And then he died a few months later, I guess. He was very sick, so he couldn't have germs around him or something.
Oh.
So, yeah. And Dave Liebman, was my first teacher.
Yeah.
We started studying with him when I was 12. So.
And the thing that links you all is that fire in the playing, the fire in the belly kind of intensity of the saxophones and all of the aforementioned. And I think your recent recordings have got a lot more fire in the belly than the earlier records. Well, I guess that's natural as you progress, right?
Well, what is really life-changing for me is that sort of recently I realized that the greatest musicians, all the masters, all the most prolific dudes and women and in all types of music played like there was no tomorrow. You stand on stage, whether it's in a little tiny club or in front of thousands of people, and you play your butt off, no matter what the situation is. So that was something that didn't totally click with me until recently, And I feel like that sort of maybe comes out in my playing a little more.
Yeah, most definitely.
Like an urgency,
Let's play something else from the album Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground. Speaking with Noah Preminger here on The Blueprint, this is I Am the Heavenly Way.
Thank you. Thank you.
from the album Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground, saxophonist Noah Preminger, latest album from Noah. And that is I Am the Heavenly Way. Noah's joining me here on The Blueprint. We were speaking about Joshua Redman, Steve Lacy, David Liebman. Other things that come into your life, Noah, boxing and skydiving. These are things that, in many ways, I suppose the disciplines of each are similar to playing your intense playing on the saxophone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I stopped boxing a little while back. The concussion thing, I had gotten quite a few of them, and so I figured health wise, maybe concussions aren't you know so great.
Yeah, plus you need your chops as well, don't you?
Yeah, that's not a big deal though. I mean, you know, it's I wear headgear, so, and a mouth guard, so it's like, but yeah, I still occasionally train myself at the gym. You know, I hit the heavy bag and speed bag, but because it's great for staying in shape. And but I love boxing. I really enjoyed doing it.
And how many times have you been skydiving? I couldn't bring myself to do that. I'd be way too scared.
Oh really? Oh no, it's
the ultimate rush. Is it?
It's a great rush. Well, you know, I've only been able to go tandem because I've never gotten my permit.
Yeah.
But I've gone over 20 times, you know, attached to somebody. But this summer, I'm going to take the course so I can jump myself.
Wow.
So, yeah, I try to go jumping in every country I go on tour in. So I've gone in England. I think I went up in the Lake District.
Well, that's quite a nice place. Good view from up there.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. Well, musical collaborations. Ben Monda, guitarist, he pops up a fair bit on your music. Are you guys good friends, good mates?
Yeah, we used to live across the street from each other. So, and I love Ben's playing. He's also very unique, and the way he comps, the texturally, he can. I mean, he's very sensitive, and we actually just did a new record that's going to be on a vinyl membership based only record label based out of Paris. It's a ballads album, and it's with Billy Hart on drums and John Patitucci on bass, and Monder plays guitar and myself on saxophone. So yeah, it was great to work with him again on that. We had taken a couple years off from each other.
Played with David Bowie as well, didn't he?
He did, on that last one.
And Jason Palmer, the trumpet player, we were talking at the Vortex a few days back about your admiration for Jason Palmer and how he really needs to be celebrated a little bit more. And I know I've played a lot of his music on the show, but talk more about, you know, the thing about Jason is...
He's so bad, it's ridiculous. Jason... is I think that you're born with this thing as an improviser where you have the ability to break out of this shell or a bubble that only a few people have, and you can hear it, I think, right away, and it's in the tone and it's in the ideas, and where you're not restricted by anything, really. And I think it's... I could get myself in trouble for describing it with other people's playing, but I think that Jason is incredibly special in that way, where he is blessed to have an unbelievable tone, and he's able to improvise freely in a way that he doesn't get restricted by very much, you know. So his ideas are unbelievable and they're constantly flowing, and it's more of a stream of consciousness sort of improvisation, which is true. And and he's just a sick player. I mean, technically, I think that there are, you know, in the history of the trumpet in jazz music, I think Wynton Marsalis has one of the most unbelievable technical ability on the trumpet, and I think Jason is right there with him. you know, not talking about musical choices with Wynton, but just the technique on the trumpet, on the actual instrument. Wynton is filthy, and as is Jason. So I think they're right there at the top.
And plans are to get him in your band and tour around at some point next year, maybe even here in the UK.
Absolutely. Well, we did this live record at the 55 Bar in New York City that came out last year. And then in May of this year, of 2016, we have a new record, this blues record, that's coming out. And then next year in 2017, I'll have the band in Europe in April. So hopefully we can be here in England.
And I must say, I've played Fixing to Die Blues from that, and it is something else. It is absolute fire, and it's about 30 minutes long.
Oh yeah, not suitable for the radio, but you know,
not breakfast show material.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, maybe in a utopian world it is. Mm-hmm. It's been good talking to you. And Brooklyn Jazz Underground is a label which has caught my attention as well. And Rob Garcia joined you at the Vortex on drums the other day. There's obviously a great synergy between the two of you. And you're on his new album. And I want to play one particular track on there, Terror, Fear and Media, which pretty much is the same thing all throughout. Mm-hmm. What this record here from him, Finding Love in an Oligarchy on a Dying Planet. That's some title.
Oh yeah, I got to hear him say that in Spanish for the past week, man.
this Jazz Underground movement thing that's going on here, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's a it's just a group of musicians who all appreciate each other's music and are all friends, I think. And I'm sort of on the outs. I'm not a member, but I'm on the. I can see in through playing with a number of those guys and women, and yeah, they have a scene happening. It's really great to see, you know. And playing with Rob is wonderful, and this record is really cool. Kate McGarry sings on it, and Lovano sings on it, and Masa Kamaguchi, a great Japanese bass player who lives in Barcelona, and Gary Versace, who's one of my favorite pianists. So it's a pretty heavy band, and a fun record to do.
Well, let's play something from it. And thank you so much, Noah Preminger, for
my pleasure
joining me here at the Blueprint. A rare opportunity to get Noah in and talk to someone whose music I've really been fascinated with, and will continue to support. And we welcome you back anytime soon.
Thank you.
This is Rob Garcia and the brilliantly titled Terror, Fear and Media on Jazz FM. We'll be right back.
And Boogie this week, I'm celebrating springtime. I reckon I saw.